Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way tonight.
It's a recording.
Hello. No, it's not a recording. They are recording, but I'm a live person.
Okay.
It's Susan and Janet.
Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you for joining us tonight. And I was just about to announce to anybody who has opened this message from a digital source, that would not be y'all because you dialed in, but if you've opened this from an archived source sometime in the future from today, please remember that we're on a live teleconference call. That means that people are going to be calling in from all over the place, and we're going to give them about 3 to 5 minutes to get here. So hang on. And in the meantime, anybody who dials in can announce yourself and let us know you're here.
Good evening, and everyone, from Steve and Cindy.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Got your card today. God bless you.
God bless you, darling.
Praise the Lord. And anybody, you digital listeners out there, anytime you'd like to join us live on our teleconference meetings, they're held every Monday night, Friday night at 8:30 p.m. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-63-POUND. Spells free me on your telephone keypad. Who else would like to say hello? Hey, Mitch.
Hey, sis. I'm made it too, and they're making all of it.
Thank you, Miss Vicky. Thank you. I hope in Georgia tonight, getting back to Florida.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Safe travels.
I'll mute back out here. I'm making all the noise.
All right. Who else wants to say hello?
Hello, Vicki. It's Helen.
Bless you, woman.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Oh, I love it.
Say hello, babe.
Hello. Hello and welcome.
Yeah, Phil's here. Phil's here, too.
I am here. Bells on.
Ding,
ding. Ask the Lord. Hey, touch him. Touch and heal her body. In the
Amen.
Name of Jesus. I just lose that healing anointing there. For Helen, anybody suffering on the line, God, Holy Spirit, touch you now as we speak. In the name of Jesus. Thank you,
thank
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
For our suffering. Lord, show yourself mighty to your people.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit is already moving in. Who else wants to say hello? Anybody out there want to say hello, you dingers?
Hello, Vicki. Hi,
Davey. I got your book sent off today.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Anybody else want to say hey?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, Claudia.
Hey, I took a nap so I could be here. Oh, it's easier.
Anyone else? We're going to start a really exciting part of our little mini-series here tonight, and I think you all are going to be blessed.
Hello, Phil and Vicki. This is Jared saying hello.
Hi, Jared. God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
Are y'all back?
We are, yes. We are back in the States, so, yeah. Got back,
oh, good.
Yep, late Saturday night, so just still catching up and adjusting, but.
Look forward to seeing you soon.
Yeah, same.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your telephones? If not, I am going to mute your phone. Now, what that means is you will still be able to hear us, but if you are making any noise in your background, if you're in your car or washing your dishes or whatever, it's not going to disturb the lines, and everyone will be able to clearly hear. And after our message tonight, I will let you know how to unmute your phone to come back into the conference so that if you have any comments or questions, we can have a nice little discussion. So just hold on. Anybody else before I mute your phone? Okay.
Well, good evening and welcome. This is Freedom's Way Ministries. My name is Phil Burdett, and I'm here with my wife, Vicki, and we are teaching tonight on understanding God's numbering system. So you will be blessed. Just relax and have yourself a glass of water and get ready to receive. God has a message for you, and he wants to touch your heart tonight. So praise the Lord. Our mission is to help you come into your full true identity in Christ, to be all that God has designed us to be. And anything we can do in that area to help you with kingdom anointing, kingdom living, we are here to do that. And these messages that we teach on Mondays and Friday nights consistently also are a great help in that area. So if you would like to get in touch with us, you can do that as well by calling our number at 904-993-2876. So welcome aboard or on the website at freedomswayministries.com. And there's a lot of teaching on there. You can spend a lot of time being filled and filled and filled with Holy Spirit anointing. So welcome aboard, and I'm going to pray us in, and we will get started. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your anointing on this word tonight. We thank you for your presence, Father. We adore you. We worship you this evening. And everything said, Lord, is from our hearts is to your glory. So we bow our knee to you. And we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And in the name of Jesus, we turn aside any foul spirit or unclean spirit that would like to blunt this message or distract or cause it not to have the effect that God would have it have on his people. So, and we just say, Holy Spirit, have your way. And we thank you, Lord, again, that you have anointed this word to bless your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord forever. Now, in keeping with our current goal of digging into the deeper things of God and gaining revelation and insight in the Word, we are now going to delve into the symbolic meanings of numbers. It's time for us to revisit the significance of numbers in the Bible, not from a viewpoint of numerology. That is Satan's counterfeit. Not from a viewpoint of Bible codes. That usually, those are going to create pathetic prophecies of what God's up to. Man has long tried in vain to figure out God and his plan in its entirety and timeline to no avail. Imagine that. Pardon me. But when we diligently study the word, we can begin to see the patterns and understand the symbols. We can read the parables with clarity of understanding. We can get an insight into God's heart, and that is what we're after. We want to touch the heart of God. In a study of the deeper things, the significance of numbers in the Bible cannot be overlooked. A lot of people went crazy with numbers a few years back, and it got to be a really bad, it went sideways in a hurry. We're not going to take you down any rabbit trails or off of the true Word of God. There are no magic formulas involved. It has nothing to do with luck. We're not adding one number to another. We're not going to be taking you into another gospel or crafting a doctrine around the numbers in the Bible. The object of our study is twofold, and it is very simple. We will first be showing you yet another way to answer the hard questions by proving from a different angle the Word of God is true. You can depend on it for all you need to know. Secondly, we hope to inspire you to dig out some truths in God's Word with greater understanding than you may have had before. So to begin with, let's just get an overview of God's math and why it's important. If you think about it, in the natural world we live in, numbers are of great significance in our lives. Numbers are the tools of identification for everything from people to automobiles and appliances, from sports uniforms to street addresses, registration forms. Numbers identify people, places, and things, and numbers denote ownership and or authorship. Numbers are used to tell what a thing is, who owns it, and where and by whom it was made. The arts and sciences are founded on numbers. Just think. Meter in music and poetry, timing in comedy and drama. Consider the calculations of construction and even travel. The scientific developments of our computer age are all mathematical. Numbers are inescapably necessary in our lives. Everything, it seems, is based in some measure on a mathematical system and formula.
Amen. So what does all this have to do with God? The answer is everything. God is the master mathematician, and his numbering system is perfect. We're going to give you a few facts about the Bible and numbers to put into your thinker and think about. One out of every five scriptures in the Bible contains a number. Wow. God wove a mathematical pattern throughout both the Old and New Testaments, the entire Holy Book. That in itself is a remarkable testimony to his authorship of it. Even beyond the pattern clearly established by the numbers themselves, the Lord also designed within the words themselves another testimony to his greatness in that each letter in both the Hebrew and Greek alphabets has a numerical value. He designed into every word, phrase, and sentence a sum total. The collective sums of significant words and phrases also have distinctive meanings that the Lord uses to prove himself and his word and to give us deeper revelation of who he is and who we are in him. Hallelujah. In-depth studies of God's numbering system are absolutely amazing. But there is a caution, and the caution is this. Don't get so far into the math that you lose sight of the mathematician.
Amen.
Some scholars have dissected verses into oblivion. They've taken the number of words in the verse to have a meaning, adding them together, and then determining how they can be divided or multiplied within the verse or by each other to get the same or similar meaning. And how many times and in how many books, and then in the whole Bible, that these words and correspondence numbers appear, and so on and so on.
And I think they got too much time on their hands.
Well, you know, the old Jewish fathers used to, the rabbis, they would get together and they would take scripture and they would take one verse out of scripture and they would argue about it all night and have all types of opinions about it, and it didn't appear to make a whole lot of progress in enhancing the meaning.
I'm going to ask for your
opinion. Watch out. Okay. So, although it's certainly interesting, I don't think it's necessary to go that far. Deciphering the Bible's numerical codes can quickly become an obsession that opens the door to a spirit of divination or addiction. We don't recommend it.
Amen.
But we do believe it's good to have a general understanding of numbers and to know that they have meaning and purpose. Even a cursory study, as we are doing here, will show that the mathematical structure of our Bible proves it could not have been written by men alone, but it is indeed inspired by the Holy Spirit and written by God.
Amen. Amen. There's no small measure of controversy over which Bible is accurate and which is closest to the original text. Bill and I are authorized King James people. We fully understand that as far as we know, there are no truly original texts left in existence, with the exception of the Dead Sea Scrolls that contain portions of the Old Testament, including the book of Isaiah. And that find, by the way, has proven the authorized King James in my mind. When translated, it was found to have only 28 differences. And the great majority of those were single letters, like A, or single words, like the, and, or common misspellings. The original letters or parchments written by John, Luke, Paul, and other writers have not been found. The majority text is based on the nearest original findings of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, and that's the basis of the authorized King James. Now, personally, I read other translations, I've read other translations, but I still get the most revelation from this one. It also has a remarkable scientific mathematical pattern that proves God intended to preserve the purity and perfection of his word by designing this pattern into it. And it also proves he did the writing through the hand of men. Now, I believe part of the reason he did that was to show that he can take that which is imperfect, man, and bring forth something perfect from it.
Amen. The scholars who prefer what is called dynamic equivalency in translation rather than literal equivalency scoff at any study or mention of a biblical numbering system. Dynamic equivalency says that if the translators or revisers of Scripture can capture a general meaning from the text, they can explain it in any way they want to. The meaning is the key, not the words. And there's a truth to that. We do need the meaning, but we need the meaning God intended, not the intention of man. We need God's heart on the matter, not man's interpretation. And in seeking God's heart, we find God's numbers. Bible translations that depart from the majority text have diluted the significance of the numbers in some ways, and people who defend on those translations can miss the flow of the revelation coming forth. Generalizing, adding to or omitting from the word for the sake of what the translator deemed clarity, destroys the perfection of the word of God. When that happens, numerical patterns become weakened or they disappear altogether. As more and more is disclosed about the numbers in the Bible, we think any omission or change of the numbers should be avoided. Most modern Bible translations change the numbers, usually by converting weights and measures into current standards or by omitting a number altogether and substituting an invented paraphrase. Well, here's an example from John chapter 6. The Authorized King James reads, John 6, 5 through 7, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come into him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of wheat is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little."
Pennyworth of bread. Now, the New International Version, NIV, very widely accepted, it has this to say. Same verses. "When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bit.'" So here you can clearly see not only was the number left out, but a paraphrased interpretation has taken its place with a totally different number that carries a totally different meaning. 200 is the number that speaks of insufficiency, while 8 is the number of new beginnings. There is a big difference there. We've not found anywhere in the Bible that tells us a person would earn an average wage of 200 pennyworth in 8 months. Now, presumably, someone did a historical search to come up with this information and decided that God must have intended John to write this as equivalent to 8 months' pay, but just didn't get around to it until this translator came along. Isn't this relying on man's knowledge and not God's? In the CEV, which is the Contemporary English Version, Philip says this: "Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each of these people?" Now, this is an even worse translation in my mind. Not only does it defile the numerical significance, it has Philip speaking to Jesus as if he's an idiot. "Don't you know this? What's wrong with you?" The point is this: numbers have a perfect relationship to the scriptures. And if we want the deeper truth, many of them will be found in the numbers. So as we begin to understand the meanings, the word unfolds like a blossoming flower, and its sweetness will fill our senses like never before. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Numbers in the Bible reveal God's hand primarily because the pattern of numbers and their specific significance is evident from Genesis through to Revelation. Over 40 writers, most of whom didn't know each other, had never met, lived in different times and in different socioeconomic circumstances over a period of 1,600 or so years, could not possibly have kept the pattern in continuance. It is impossible that these different minds, separated by hundreds of years, that have in their own strength of thought written 66 separate and distinct books, which all demonstrate the same use of numbers to reveal deep spiritual truths. Each writer could not on his own have preserved the same meanings to these numbers throughout books of different character and subject matter. An intricate numerical pattern was a guiding influence from Moses, the deliverer, to John, the revelator. As an example of this guiding pattern, take the number 7, which is God's number for spiritual perfection, his perfect number. 7 is the most dominant number in the Bible, by the way.
Yeah. You see it everywhere.
God completed his work and rested on the 7th day. Egypt experienced 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. At Jericho, 7 priests with 7 trumpets marched with the people around the city for 7 days and 7 times on the 7th day. Every 7th year, the land was given a rest from planting. Solomon spent 7 years building the temple, then held a 7-day feast. Naaman dipped in the river 7 times. And in the book of Revelation, the number 7 is used more than 50 times. And we can clearly see that though many pens in the hands of men were used, the Holy Spirit of God is the sole author of the Bible. The agreement and harmony of the meanings of numbers from all the different writers testify that in the original tongues in which the scriptures were written, we have the very word of God himself. Divine inspiration of the scriptures is evidenced in its mathematical precision, backed by indisputable mathematical design. We serve an awesome God.
Amen. Amen and amen. You know, this is one way that you can answer the hard question that people are going to ask about, well, you know, you can't really trust the Bible because it was written by man. Now, when you give them the facts of the time frame and the different people and that they didn't even know each other. You know, you and I can't keep a story straight for 2 weeks. And over no less than 1,200 years or probably max 1,600 years, at least 40, probably 44 different writers wrote 66 different books and they all say the same thing. That's impossible without a divine inspiration. It's really, you can't use the Bible to prove the Bible. You have to go outside of it and look at how would science approach this. And this is one of those ways, is in the numbers. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 through 12. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you if you are a born-again Christian. Because of this mathematical precision and the pattern of numerical meanings in the Bible, not only is numerical inspiration proven, verbal inspiration is established as well. People who want to believe God only gave the writers his thoughts and ideas, and then, well, they just chose their own words to convey God's thoughts, they have to give up that belief under the weighty evidence of the numbers. The numbers in the word fall into their places because of the verbal inspiration. The word of God and the words used are clearly God's own. Now, I know we have just spent a lot of time on this, but I believe it's important to our understanding of the value and the validity of what we're doing here, because we want you to gain a full understanding of the Word of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, for those who want to continue past what we share with you over the next few weeks, here are a few commonly accepted rules that govern God's biblical math.
Yeah, and if you're a note taker, this is a good time to take notes. So, go slow, Phil.
Okay. The first use of a number in Scripture is generally the clue to its spiritual meaning.
It's called
the law of first reference. The first use of a number in Scripture is generally the clue to its spiritual meaning. The second is a specific spiritual truth may not be evident in every single place a number appears. A specific spiritual truth may not be evident in every single place a number appears. Third truth, numbers convey spiritual truths three ways. One, the actual use of a number. Two, the number of times a specific word or phrase is used by the Holy Spirit. And number three, by the numerical value of the word or phrase. So let me go over that briefly again. Numbers convey spiritual truths three ways. One, actual use of a number. Two, the number of times a specific word or phrase is used by the Holy Spirit. And three, by the numerical value of the word or phrase. Number four, all simple numbers from 1 to 40 have a special meaning. Above 40, only certain numbers seem to have spiritual significance. And we'll cover more of that later. But basically said, all simple numbers from 1 to 40 have a specific meaning. Above 40, only certain numbers seem to have spiritual significance. And number five, doubling or tripling a number generally intensifies its meaning. Say it again, doubling or tripling a number generally intensifies its meaning.
And we don't doubling like times two. That would be 1, 11, 22, 22, that kind of thing.
The next one is adding two simple numbers together usually carries the meanings of both numbers and a deeper spiritual truth. Adding two simple numbers together usually carries the meanings of both numbers and a deeper spiritual truth. And lastly, compound numbers divisible by several factors, the spiritual truth will generally lie in the simplest factor, which cannot be further divided.
have to get that one.
Okay, thank you. Where a compound number is divisible by several factors, the spiritual truth will generally lie in the simplest factor, which cannot be further divided.
Okay. And if you didn't get all those and you want to ask us afterward, we'll be glad to share them again. But that being said, let's just begin with the number one. I know we can get through number one tonight, if nothing else. Using the law of first reference, the spiritual meaning of the number one would be united or unity. This number is first mentioned in Genesis 1 and verse 9. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. So in this verse, the word one is the Hebrew word echad. Did I say that right?
Echad.
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 Okay. And that word means united, one, first, only one. And that word comes from a root word, which is ached. Is that right?
Well, it's actually, ached.
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 Meaning to unify or collect. So it's a plural unity. The Lord our God is one Lord. A plural unity. This is the same Hebrew word used in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. Three persons, one God. The unified, the first, the one and only Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Unity is the spiritual meaning of the number one throughout Scripture. Thank you, Lord.
You'll bear with me. I will give that to you in Hebrew because that's where Echad comes in. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord," is Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. And that's where it appears. One God, one Lord. Amen. But this plural unity of oneness is shown over and over again. And we won't go to every verse, but it is important to look at a few that give us the example we are to follow. John 10 and 30. I and my Father are one. John 17, 21 to 22, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
United, 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 unified.
Amen. 1 John 5, verses 7 and 8. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. In the Greek, one means one, but it's interesting to note that the root words mean not even one or none, and also severally as one by one. In other words, one is again not singular. If we insist on our individuality and separateness, or being a loner, a single, set apart unto ourselves and not unto God, and not unto love of each other and service to each other, this word says the singular one is equal to nothing at all. One is meant to be not even one, but many together, a collective unity. In God's math, one is a single body made up of more than one. It is not literally one thing, one person, or one idea, but rather it is several things, people, or ideas coming together in unity to create one inseparable unit. Just like the one new man.
One new man. That was kind of our theme at our wedding, the one new man. But let us say it takes more than union to make unity. That's a good word of the day. I should write it down. We see lots of couples who agree on the getting married part, but not in the being married part. The agreement operates in the wedding ceremony, but not the marriage. The wedding ceremony is the union. Union is a coming together in mind or in body. But the marriage is where unity must occur. It is an agreement in spirit. In the church, we don't have to agree with each other on every point of doctrine. It's okay. But when we agree with God, we're going to experience unity in the body of Christ. Because when you agree with God and I agree with God, then He can put us in this body where we are going to be of most use to Him and His kingdom. And we're going to be most satisfied within ourselves. We're not going to be jockeying for position. We're not going to be envious of somebody who has something or has an anointing that, hey, why aren't I the one chosen to sing that song or paint the cabinets? I mean, you know, we are going to be in the body where God has placed us, which puts us in agreement, fitly joined with every other piece. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank God He hasn't chosen me to paint the cabinet. Hallelujah. So we're going to end off in Ephesians chapter 4, which is one of the places we see the connection between the number one and unity. And you'll find that in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
Thank you, Lord.
If you notice, the number one is mentioned seven times in this passage. One body, the body of Christ, one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, one hope, the resurrection and glorification of our bodies, one Lord, Jesus Christ, one faith in Christ, one baptism, full immersion into our belief in the blood of Jesus and His resurrection. One God, the Father. And as we mentioned before, seven is God's perfect number, the number of spiritual perfection. And you may notice that everything mentioned here as one is a plurality of some kind. So hopefully you are getting a revelation about Scripture and how God weaves his mysteries throughout his book. And if you are hungry for more, that's a good thing. We will continue opening up the meaning of Numbers over the next few weeks as far as the Lord wants to go with it. So let's pray together now and seal this word.
And I just want you all to know that next week we are going to do three numbers. 2, 3, and 4. Hallelujah. As God's already given me that, so praise the Lord. Now, as we pray, I'm going to lead you through this prayer, which means that you will say what I say if you agree. If you don't, keep your mouth shut. The reason that we pray out loud is because only God can read your mind. The angels cannot read your mind, and they are ministering spirits for us. They hearken to the voice of the Word of God, according to Psalm 103. So they need to hear it. They need to hear that you are in agreement with God. That way they can be released to perform this prayer, to perform these words. And the demons need to hear you too, because they can't read your mind. And they need to know that you agree with God and you are disagreeing with them. That way, they can get up and leave. Hallelujah. Because there's nothing to hold them in place when they know you disagree. Hallelujah. So just pray with me, if you will. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
I come to you, Father, and I thank you.
Come to you, Father, and thank you.
Thank you for revealing your heart through numbers.
Thank you for revealing your heart through numbers.
Thank you for the spiritual significance.
Thank you for the spiritual significance.
The pattern that you have woven into them.
The pattern you've woven into them.
And throughout your word.
And throughout your word.
You are an amazing God.
You are an amazing God.
And you have once more.
And you have once more.
Proved the validity of your word.
Proved the validity of your word.
Thank you for the plural unity of one.
Thank you for the plural unity of one.
Father, make us one.
Father, make us one.
Help me to understand my place in your body.
Help me to understand my place in your body.
And to become fitly joined in your body.
And to become fitly joined in your body.
As you would have me be.
As you would have me be.
Show me that I am important.
Show me that I am important.
As are others.
As are others.
And that we each have been specifically designed.
And that we each have been specifically designed.
For your special purpose.
For your special purpose.
Not our own.
Not our own.
Give me understanding, Lord God.
Give me understanding, Lord God.
That without others.
That without others.
I'm the same as I am without you.
I am the same as I am without you.
I am as nothing.
I am as nothing.
Help me understand.
Help me understand.
That my singleness is meaningless.
Help me understand that my singleness is meaningless.
But my collectiveness, our collectiveness.
Our collectiveness.
Has great meaning.
Has great meaning.
Bring us all into the unity of the faith, Father.
Bring us all into the unity of the faith, Father.
Where we each can agree in full measure.
Where we each can agree in full measure.
Not with each other.
Not with each other.
But with you.
But with you.
You have given us union, Lord.
You have given us union, Lord.
You have created the body of Christ.
You have created the body of Christ.
Help us to move into unity now.
Help us to move into unity now.
Father, make us one.
Father, make us one.
That the world may know.
The world may know.
You have sent the Son.
You have sent the Son.
Father, make us one.
Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Name of Jesus Christ, amen.
And I just want to take a moment to address any spirit of division, separation, aloneness, any spirit that has caused you to feel you don't fit in, that you cannot be a part of this body of Christ. I speak to that unclean antichrist spirit that would make you a single rather than a one, that would cause you singleness rather than oneness. I stand in the gap and I choose as an act of my will, Father, if you would allow me to stand in that gap, in that broken down place in the spirit, from the generations, the loners, that spirit of the loner, the maverick, the hermit. And I forgive, on behalf of these people, I forgive their ancestors for any time they opened the door to that singleness, that isolation, division, separation, loneness. I forgive them, Lord, and I release them into your hand from responsibility for any curse that's attached itself to any of your people. I take those curses now and I give them to the Lord Jesus because he is our curse bearer. And I break all agreement now on behalf of your people, God, that are in the sound of my voice. I break agreement with that loner. I break agreement with the maverick. I break agreement with every spirit of separation, division, aloneness, singleness that is meaningless. In the name of Jesus, and I renounce you and I cast you out. You come up and out from every cell in their bodies, every thought in their mind, every emotion in their heart. Get up, get out, and go now. I cancel cell memories of not fitting in. I cancel cell memory of being alone, always feeling alone. Even in a crowd, you're alone. I cancel that in the name of Jesus. And I shut the mouth of the liar according to your word in Psalm 63. The mouth of the liar shall be stopped. We stop the mouth of the liar, Lord, and we call your body into not just union, but unity. In the name of Jesus, and I ask that in every place, Lord, where those spirits of separation, division, aloneness, the maverick, the loner, singleness, unsanctified singleness, all of that, Lord, that where those spirits have left, that you fill your people now with a fresh revelation of the plural unity that is one, and that their one is not only one single, but many. Give them a new view. Help us all, God, to see from your perspective and not our own, and to rightly respond Give us willing hearts, Lord. Fill us up with your love. Every fruit of your Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, faith, gentleness, goodness, meekness, self-control, every fruit of your Spirit, Lord, fill us up. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen, 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 hallelujah.
Amen.
And if you have a comment or a question tonight, you can push the *6 key on your telephone keypad. That will put you back in the conference. So if you've got anything to say, now's the time to do it before Pastor Phil closes us, seals this word, and closes us with the benediction. Any comments? Anybody didn't have a chance to tell me you're here?
I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for letting me be part of the family, the body of Christ. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you all for everything you do for us, too, explaining all this.
Amen. Thank you, Mitch.
Praise
glory
you,
to God.
Thank you. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, brother and sister.
God bless you.
Hey, it's Gretchen. I needed that. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Well, you got it. I added a little something. I'll make a note before I send it to you.
Yeah, beautiful.
I needed it too. Thank you. It was wonderful.
You're welcome, dear. God bless you.
God bless.
Glory, glory, glory. Okay. Hearing no other comments or questions tonight, I'm going to ask Phil to, well, we're still early. Nobody wants to say anything? I can't believe it. We were either really clear. Yeah. What was it again? We were either really clear or they're very confused. So this is like open mic night. Come on, guys. Actually. Okay. Well, we can end off a little early if you've got nothing to say. Praise the Lord. If no one has any, I know I'm not classy enough. It's okay. Love me and you know it.
Hallelujah. Well, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in our hearts. Lord, make it clear to us. Give us understanding of what the message is that you're trying to get to us, that we can understand it and that it becomes more clear as the time goes on. And thank you for clarifying it, Lord. Sealing it in our heart, and thank you that it becomes a great blessing to all the hearers and that they can grow in you and be more like you and enjoy the benefits of your kingdom and kingdom living. Hallelujah. So Lord, as Aaron, the high priest of Israel, blessed the children of Israel in Numbers, the 6th chapter, where he had, it's known as the Aaronic benediction. I'm going to do my best to deliver that to you tonight, that you will be blessed. So receive what God would have for you to the best of your ability. And I just wanted to clarify that where I use the word Adonai, God identified himself to the people of Israel in Exodus as Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Had a long discussion on that this week. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which many people say is Yahweh, but it was without vowels, so it was really almost unutterable. So it's known throughout as Adonai. So I'm going to use that because that's how I remember it. Hallelujah. So God bless you as you receive. I'm going to sing this. It's a chant. Please bear with me and receive. I'm going to give you the English as well. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha yifnecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. We pray for peace. And as identified, and I will add, in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your Son. We give you all the honor and the glory for him. What he has done, the sacrifice he made, and the blessings upon the people of the earth. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for all you are and all that you do. But we give you all the honor and all the glory. We return all to you in praise and worship. And we bow our knee to you, Father, in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you all for joining us tonight. This message will be brought again on Friday night by the Holy Spirit through Gretchen. And I will be unavailable this week. I'm traveling. But I'll be back. And then next week, Monday night, we are going to continue our study of Numbers with the spiritual significance and meanings of Numbers 2, 3, and 4. So don't miss it. Join us if you can in the morning on this same line at 7:15 for the King's Table. God bless you all and have a great night. Bye now.
Goodbye. Good night.
Thank you.
I'll be with you on Israel.
Thank you. Yeah. God bless you.